The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we're immersing ourselves in a really fascinating book. It didn't just predict the future, it kind of provided the mathematical framework for it. Ray Kurzweil's foundational text, The Age of Spiritual Machines.
Yeah, this is a crucial one. Because Kurzweil, he fundamentally challenges how we all perceive time and progress. He basically argues that the slow, steady history we're used to, that's about to give way to something, well, exponentially faster.
Right.
And it leads directly to what he calls the most significant event in human history, the technological transcendence of our own biology.
Transcendence meaning moving beyond it.
Exactly. It's an idea that completely redefines intelligence, consciousness, even what it means to be human in this century. It's big stuff.
Okay, so that's our mission today. To unpack that framework, especially Kurzweil's Law of Accelerating Returns, or LOAR, and, you know, figure out why our common sense intuition about the future might just be, well, dead wrong. We're going to walk through his roadmap for the next, what, 80 years? Which, honestly, it sounds a bit like science fiction.
It does, but that's the thing. He backs it up with data. Lots of it.
Yeah.
And to really get the weight of these predictions, you have to understand Kurzweil himself, his unique authority.
He's not just a theorist, is he?
Not at all. People label him a futurist, sure, but he's primarily an inventor, a very successful one. He has this track record of actually building the kind of tech he writes about and predicting it correctly beforehand.
Right, like the first flatbed scanner, that was him.
Yep. And crucially, the first commercial text-to-speech synthesizer.
The Kurzweil reading machine for the blind. Game-changing.
Absolutely. And he also revolutionized music with the Kurzweil K250 synth.
Ah, the one that could finally sound like a real grand piano.
That's the one. First electronic instrument to pull that off realistically. These weren't just ideas on paper.
Yeah.
You know, they were disruptive products that worked and sold.
So that mixed the theory and the practical engineering that's key here.
Totally. His authority isn't just from inventing cool stuff. It's from treating technological progress itself as something you can measure, quantify.
He went beyond Moore's law, right? Which is just about chips.
Exactly. He generalized it into this law of accelerating returns, the LOAR. His whole vision is grounded in tracking these tech trends meticulously over decades.
So it's based on patterns he's observed across different technologies.
Yes. He looked at the meta trend, how information tech evolves. Doesn't matter if it's old vacuum tubes or modern silicon. That's what separates his work from just, you know, guessing.
Okay, let's jump into the core idea of the book then, the central premise.
All right. So Kurzweil argues technological evolution isn't something totally new. It's actually a seamless continuation of biological evolution. And the driving force behind it all is this law of accelerating returns, LOAR.
Okay, LOAR again. So what does that mean exactly?
It means that the key metrics, the efficiency, the power, the complexity of information tech, they don't just increase. They double,
right?
But they double at an ever faster rate. So the time it takes for things to double keeps shrinking.
Ah, okay. It accelerates.
Precisely. Evolution, in his view, is basically the universe trying to get better and better at processing information. Technology is just the next much faster way to do that.
And where does this acceleration inevitably lead?
It leads to the singularity. That's the term he uses for the point when non-biological machine intelligence doesn't just match ours.
But surpasses it.
Vastly surpasses it. And it kicks off the merger between human and machine intelligence.
Wow. Okay. He puts this in a bigger context too, right? The sixth epoch.
Yeah, he does. It shows the cosmic scale he's thinking on. Epochs 1, 2, 3 are the slow biological ones. You know, physics and chemistry making patterns.
Then DNA, life.
Then brains, neurology, self-awareness. All biological, all relatively slow.
But then Epoch 4 changes everything.
That's the game changer, technology. Because that's when we, the biological brains, create a new substrate for evolution, computers.
A faster substrate.
Much faster.
Yeah.
And that sets off the really rapid stages. Epoch 5 is the merger of human and machine we talked about.
And Epoch 6.
Epoch 6 is, well, it's when intelligence spreads out throughout the cosmos. The universe itself kind of wakes up, becomes saturated with knowledge and computation.
That's a lot to take in.
It is. And what's really remarkable is how he frames the ending. He doesn't see this technological transcendence as some, you know, scary robot takeover.
Not dystopian.
No, he sees it as a kind of spiritual fulfillment. He argues this drive we have to overcome limits, to defeat death, to infuse the universe with intelligence that's inherent to evolution itself.
So technology as a spiritual quest, that's the title connection.
Exactly. He sees it as pursuing something divine, in a way.
Okay, let's drill down on LOAR then, because understanding this exponential growth thing seems critical. Why should you, listening now, really care if progress is exponential, not linear?
Well, because our brains, fundamentally, are hardwired for linear thinking. We expect things to progress steadily, step by step.
Like if it took 10 years to get here, it'll take another 10 to get that much further.
Right. But Kurzweil shows LOA has held true for over a century. It kept going through totally different tech paradigms. Old electromechanical calculators, vacuum tubes, transistors, integrated circuits.
So the trend itself is the key, not the specific tech.
That's his argument. It's fundamental. It's not just about Moore's Law for chips.
There's that famous analogy, isn't there, about steps?
Yeah, the linear versus exponential steps. If you take 30 normal linear steps, 1 foot after another, you go about 30 feet.
Okay, makes sense. Incremental.
But if you take 30 exponential steps where each step doubles the length of the last one, you don't end up 30 feet away or even 30,000 feet away.
Yeah.
You end up over a billion feet away.
A billion. That's what, like 26 times around the Earth?
Something like that, yeah. That huge leap from 30 feet to a billion. That's the kind of difference Kurzweil is talking about.
So when that exponential curve really starts to go vertical,
progress becomes sudden.
Yeah.
Disruptive. It happens way faster than our linear brains can anticipate.
Okay. That sets the stage for how we get to superintelligence then. He talks about replicating the human brain.
Yep. The engineer in him comes out. He actually tried to quantify the brain's processing power by estimating the raw calculations per second needed based on what we knew about neurons, synapses, their firing rates, yep. That kind of thing.
And did he make a prediction based on that?
He did. And this is where his data-driven approach gets really interesting. Back when the book was written, nearly 30 years ago, he calculated that a standard personal computer would reach the raw processing power of the human brain around 2020. That's remarkably close.
Stunningly close, right? Given when he predicted it.
But just having the raw power, the hardware speed, that's only half of it, isn't it? You need the software, the intelligence itself.
Absolutely. That's the other massive challenge. How do you create the algorithms that make a brain, well, intelligent? So what's Kurzweil's path for that?
He sees the most direct route as reverse engineering the brain using advanced scanning tech.
Like MRI or something more advanced.
Much more advanced. Things that can give us non-invasive, super high-resolution maps of the entire neural structure, every connection.
And if we can map it perfectly,
then, he argues, we could figure out the underlying algorithms. We can essentially understand how consciousness works by seeing the blueprint.
Okay, so OAR is the engine driving this. Reverse engineering the brain is the method. Let's talk dates. He put a very specific and pretty controversial date out there, 2029.
Yes, 2029 is pivotal in his timeline.
What happens then?
He predicts that by 2029, a $1,000 computer won't just have the brain's raw processing power,
which he already predicted for around 2020.
Right. But by 2029, it will also have the sophisticated software, likely derived from that reverse engineering effort, to convincingly and reliably pass the Turing test.
Pass the Turing test. Meaning it can fool a human into thinking it's also human.
Essentially, yes. It will exhibit intelligent behavior that's indistinguishable from a human's in conversation. Consistently.
Okay, that sounds like a huge leap. I mean, just 5 years from now, basically. People often say that's wildly optimistic, don't they?
They do. It's probably the most criticized part of his timeline.
Is he just banking entirely on that exponential curve, assuming LRR just plows through any problem?
He is, fundamentally. He fully acknowledges temporary roadblocks, like, say, current limits in brain scanning resolution.
Yeah.
But he sees them as just that temporary. He believes the underlying power of information tech, doubling roughly every year by his metrics, will inevitably overcome these hurdles. The acceleration solves the problem.
And 2029 is also important for another reason, right? The merger.
Yes. That's when he sees the human-machine merger becoming truly viable.
How? Like implants?
Nanobots, specifically. Ooh. Tiny machines introduced into our bloodstream.
Whoa.
That can travel to the brain and establish direct connections between our neocortex and the cloud. Wireless.
Connect our brains to the internet.
To the vast storage and processing power of the cloud. Yes. They'd act like a functional bridge.
So we could think faster, access information instantly.
Both. Imagine augmenting your memory instantly, accessing the sum of human knowledge, communicating complex ideas non-verbally. It vastly expands our cognitive abilities.
That's a paradigm shift. Okay, let's fast forward then. Way out to the end of the century, 2099. What's the world look like in Kurzweil's projection?
It's almost unrecognizable from today. He envisions a world where baseline, unaugmented humans are, well, a tiny minority, perhaps living separately by choice.
So most people aren't biological anymore?
The vast majority of conscious entities, he argues, will be software-based, existing as patterns of information.
Which means they could live forever.
Effectively, yes, because the pattern could be backed up, copied, transferred to new hardware, iterated upon. Death as a biological endpoint becomes optional, maybe irrelevant.
Then technological progress by then.
So incomprehensibly fast that a biological, unaugmented human mind literally couldn't keep up, couldn't even grasp the changes happening year to year, maybe even month to month.
Okay. That definitely requires a serious mental adjustment. Let's unpack the core themes that kind of force this new worldview on us.
Absolutely. Theme number one, and it's maybe the most important, intelligence is substrate independent.
Meaning intelligence doesn't need a brain.
Or any specific physical thing. Kurzweil argues your identity, your consciousness, it's all in the pattern of information, not the atoms that happen to be holding that pattern right now.
So, if you could perfectly copy the pattern of my brain, my memories, personality, how I think, onto a computer.
Is that still you? That's the profound question.
What does Kurzweil say?
He says yes. The pattern, the dynamic structure, that's the essential software. Your body's just hardware 1.0. If the pattern continues on new, better hardware, the you continues.
Okay, that leads right into theme two, the obsolescence of biology.
Yeah, our biological bodies from this perspective are...
Yeah.
Well, flawed, slow, fragile, prone to breaking down. Hardware 1.0.
So evolution, according to him, requires us to move beyond biology.
To fulfill its drive for greater complexity and information processing, yes.
Yeah.
We need a more durable, upgradable computational platform. Biology was just a stepping stone.
Which reframes things like life extension, right?
Completely. Yeah. It stops being just about medicine fighting disease. It becomes an engineering problem. How do we maintain and upgrade the system? A problem that, given exponential progress, he believes is solvable.
And the third big theme, the one that gives the book its title, technology as a spiritual quest. This one feels counterintuitive, maybe.
It can, yeah, given the hard engineering focus.
Mm-hmm.
But Kurzweil sees this whole process, overcoming limitations, defeating death, spreading intelligence through the universe, as fundamentally spiritual.
How so?
He argues it fulfills our deepest, oldest human aspirations, things like immortality, omniscience, understanding everything. These are goals found in spiritual traditions worldwide.
So technology becomes the means to achieve those ancient spiritual ends.
That's his take. It reframes this seemingly materialistic process of building faster machines as, well, a pursuit of the divine through knowledge and capability.
Right. Let's capture some of the key ideas that really encapsulate this vision, some memorable lines or concepts.
Okay. First, just to hammer home the sheer speed and scale of change. The 21st century will experience progress equivalent to what would require 20,000 years of progress at today's rate.
20,000 years of progress packed into one century. That's mind-bending.
It really puts the exponential curve into perspective.
And then the core philosophical idea for digital existence.
Our identity is not tied to the specific collection of atoms, but to the continuity of the pattern of information.
The pattern is key. It's the data structure that defines me.
Exactly. And finally, the one that explains the title directly. The machines will be spiritual because they will be derived from human thinking, which he argues is inherently spiritual.
So the spirituality gets inherited, in a sense.
That's the idea. It connects the engineering back to us, to human values and aspirations.
Okay, so bringing this down to earth a bit, how can you, listening right now, actually apply this kind of exponential thinking? This isn't just sci-fi for 2099, right? It affects us now.
Definitely. Tip one, career strategy. You really need to rethink job security through the lens of LOIR.
Meaning?
Any job that's fundamentally based on repetitive tasks, recognizing patterns, even complex ones, that's likely on the chopping block for automation sooner than you think.
So what skills should people focus on?
For now, the uniquely human ones. High-level creativity, not just remixing, but genuinely new ideas. Complex strategic thinking, deep emotional intelligence, and crucially, asking new kinds of questions. AI is great at answers, less so at framing novel problems.
Got it. Okay, tip two.
Investment and business. Stop thinking linearly about tech. Expect those sudden vertical leaps in fields like AI, biotech, computation. Don't just look at current market share.
What should you track instead?
Price performance metrics. How much capability are you getting per dollar? When that metric starts improving exponentially, disruption is coming fast.
Right, that's the real indicator. And tip three.
Personal longevity. Kurzweil himself is famous for his aggressive health regimen. His ideas really motivate taking proactive steps.
Using cutting-edge science to keep the biological hardware going.
Exactly. He calls it the bridge strategy. Bridge one is using today's best health science. Bridge two will be the biotech revolution in the coming decades. Bridge three is the nanotech molecular repair era.
So stay healthy enough now to reach the really radical life extension tech that LOAR is supposedly bringing.
That's the plan. Keep the hardware 1.0 running until hardware 2.0 or beyond becomes available.
You know, digging into the summary, what surprised me the most was that core paradigm shift. The idea that humanity isn't the end goal of evolution. Mm-hmm. We're just a phase, a crucial transition maybe, between slow carbon-based life and this vastly faster silicon-based intelligence. It's humbling, actually.
It really is. And I think the lasting insight for me is just how fluid our most basic concepts are about to become.
Like human life.
Consciousness, mortality.
Yeah.
These aren't fixed definitions. Kurzweil argues they'll be completely redefined, probably within this century.
So the book is really an urgent call, isn't it?
I think so. An urgent call to internalize this exponential way of thinking. So you're prepared for the future rather than constantly being blindsided by it because you underestimated the speed of change. And maybe start thinking about the huge ethical questions now.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.